Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. We're doing this a cappella to start today. Hopefully, everyone had a great, great weekend. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. Like I said, hopefully, everyone has had a great weekend. We have a lot of stuff to get into today. I mean, there is so much going on. It is absolutely nuts. We have the Rockets going all New Orleans Saints. Maybe they think complaining incessantly is the way to go. I mean, they even did their own technical audit of everything to show that the Warriors get away with so much more than they do. I guess the opening is remixing itself. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the draft. Gettleman doubling down. I have a different theory about why he took who he took. The Yankees are out here tomorrow. They're hot. They're still injured. And they're hot. It's kind of scary. But about 10 minutes after the hour, you have the one, the only, Bianco, down there in South Beach. He's going to speak to us about Josh Rosen becoming a Miami Dolphin. We're going to do all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Like I said, thank you for joining us today, this Monday. We're brought to you, of course, by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Chandler and Alma School, 4991 South Alma School, and that's Chandler Heights and Alma School. Get down there, let them know PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off your cigar purchase. Get a lock, become a club member, back up to a humidor, and never worry about your sticks going badly. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, serving beer and wine. Again, let them know PLR. 10% off your cigar purchase. Some restrictions do apply, so please check out when you get in there. Thank you for tuning in to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff to get into. Give a call to the show. Carry Lackey Law Line, 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. Have some thoughts about what's happening in the world of sports. I see I do have a caller. Perfect timing because gives us a couple minutes to chat before guest Tony Capobianco gives a call in. Thank you for holding. This is PLR. This is The Cave Show. To whom do I have the privilege of speaking with?
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou.
Lou, what's up, buddy? How you been?
Well, you're right about one thing. It's scary that even though the Yankees are becoming a train wreck, they're still managing to win games. And now they're only a game and a half out of first place.
That team is just too talented. They really are. I mean, they have pitching, they have hitting, they have a good bullpen. The team is just a talented team. It's almost scary that once they get healthy, what they're going to be able to do.
Do you really want to know that, or do you not want to know?
No, I love the – it was really a rhetorical question, as you know. It's just – I mean, this is a really good baseball team, and I think between them and the Astros, and I really believe before the season's over, the Red Sox are still going to have something to say about it. Those are just some really good baseball teams.
Yeah, speaking of the Red Sox, I mean, they're really in a slump, and not only that, but their best pitcher, Chris Sale, hasn't even won a game yet this season, 0-5.
No, and they paid him before they had to. They really did. They did not have to re-up him as early as they did. And the thing with Chris Sale is you worry about him late in the year because that's usually when he starts to fade. But it's not starting out good for them with him. And that is worry. If he's not pitching well now, it just means someone else is going to need to step up for them because, in all honesty, they're Chris Sale away from being two games out of first. And that's kind of a crazy thing to say, but it's very true.
Yeah, I mean, this team is, you know, I don't know if it's just a World Series hangover or something else, but this is not the Red Sox that we have known for the past decade or so.
Well, remember, go back, and I'm always going to remind people of this. It took the Cubs 300 years to win a World Series.
Only 300?
They finally, something like that. I'm a White Sox fan. It only took them 300 years to win their World Series, and that first half of the season, and I know the Red Sox have won before, but the first half of the season, people were like, oh, they're kind of walking through the motions. What's going on with this team? We thought this would be a perennial playoff team. And it was like, just be patient. This team will be fine. And sometimes you just got to finish your champagne and steak tour. And once that finished, then you start playing baseball, really good baseball about June. So I still think they're going to have a lot to say about what goes on this season.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, now we move over to the NBA and NHL playoffs. And I don't know about you, but were you surprised by yesterday's results of the Celtics Bucks game? Like, the Celtics just blew them out? Wow.
No, I'm not surprised at all. In fact, I think the Celtics are going to win this series in five. I think the Celtics are, and everyone is going to say, look at the record. I don't really give a crap about the record. For the regular season, the Celtics are a proven playoff team with a proven closer. And Kyrie Irving told everyone when the playoffs started, and everyone wanted to say, oh, yeah, but look at what he's saying. Look, once the playoff lights are on, guys that have won rings before, there's a certain switch in him that goes. As good as the Bucks are, as good as the Greek Freak is, he might even be the MVP. If your best player can't shoot consistently, it is awfully hard to beat a team whose best player can shoot consistently, has hit big shots, and has won a title. And so the rest of the Celtics got their baptism in the playoffs last year, and now here comes the guy that's done it all before. Milwaukee doesn't have that. I am not surprised. In fact, you weren't. I don't think you were. You called in on Thursday or Friday. I ranked the teams in the playoffs and in the East. I said from this point on, Boston's one, Toronto's two, Milwaukee's three, Philadelphia's four. And by saying that, I'm basically just saying Philadelphia and Boston aren't good enough. I don't think either one of those teams wins more than one game and maybe two at the most. At the most, I just don't see it.
Yeah, actually, I did try to call in, but it never went through.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry about that. I don't know what you know. Gotta love technology and hate it all at the same time.
Not really.
But yeah,
and,
no, I'm not.
Islanders are down 2-0. That's a bit surprising, especially at home.
Yeah, and it's but as we've said before, in hockey, do you really have home ice? I mean, out of all the sports, to me, that's the one where it just doesn't seem to matter as much.
It really doesn't. Home, I've always said home ice or home field or whatever is very overrated.
Yeah, I think the most is football just because it can be an element thing. I mean, so many teams are going to dome stadiums now, but if you're a team that plays, you know, if you're Tampa, you don't want to go play in Chicago or Green Bay in the wintertime. You have a playoff game there. That's not something that's built for you the way you played ball all season. If you're a dome team, the Saints are the biggest or one of the biggest teams that shows that. When they control their destiny in a dome, they're tough to beat. But the second you get them outside in the wintertime, they're not the same team. So that sport, having home field, means a lot. But hockey – I just not the same.
Yeah, you never can tell it that because you know with both number one seeds out of their conferences, you know it's just turned the whole thing into bizarro world.
Yeah, it's wide open.
Yeah.
Yep, it's wide open.
I didn't expect that. I mean, this is not the if I had a bracket for this. I would have been busted instantly.
It's a good thing that the Final Four tournament on you.
I wonder what what's his name has to say about this from Jeopardy.
I don't know.
What would he be thinking? Oh, let's see. I'll wager $50,000 on the Lightning to lose. Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, come on, Jimmy. What do you got? Tell us your secret. I mean, you're a professional sports bettor. Can you help us out? Yeah, probably not.
But that guy is killing Jeopardy. He's killing Jeopardy. I mean, that's incredible. That listen.
No, it's sick.
I may get, if I'm on Jeopardy right now, I may get one answer right.
There'll be one more answer better than I get.
Ooh. Yeah, so I'm not a Jeopardy guy.
Yeah, no, but I've been making shots at him all week, you know, especially on my show. So, oh boy, some of them got the joke, some of them didn't.
No, I hear you.
It was bad.
So, so that's the story, my friend. But I got Tony calling in. If you have an opportunity, again, phone line's always open.
All right, but I think the dinner bell is going to ring soon, so I may have to wait on that. But if I get time within during the week, I will look into it.
Always good to hear from you, my friend.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, buddy. Always good to hear from Lou. Always good for him to call in, talk about what's on his mind. We have Tony Capobianco, Cuban Cowboy, touching base with us shortly. Real quick, getting into this before he calls in. Yeah, I picked Boston. Listen, it's just a basic thing of basketball 101. If you build a wall around Giannis, which is what the Boston did, and then you say to Chris Middleton, now you have to beat us, and you say to Bledsoe, now you have to beat us, and we all know I'm a Bledsoe guy, we all know that I respect what Chris Middleton does, we all know that I love that Brooke Lopez became a very good three-point shooter, but folks, all this now is happening in the playoffs, and it's a complete different ball game when all the chips are on the line. And if your best player cannot consistently get off shots that can keep you in a game or bring you back in the game, and that's his Achilles heel, you don't stand a chance. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is a four-game sweep, or at best, you're not going to, you know, we have too much pride to lose type series. But they're not going to – the only way they push this to five is if they win game at home and game two at home. And the only way that they pull out the pride thing is if in game four they just become an impossible team to just put out of their misery and then they go back to Milwaukee and lose. But Giannis is going to have to score about 35 points a night to beat this team. And he's going to have to be fouled incessantly. They're going to have to do a lot of things. And he's going to have to hit threes like he's Steph. Do not believe that's going to happen. Let's switch over to football for a second. Let's get my man here on. He covers all South Beach sports. Used to be with us. Now he's with Five Reason Sports. Josh Rosen is now a Dolphin. And he left in the classiest way anyone could possibly leave. But I want to know what the feel is like down in Miami. So here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco. Tony, you happy you got Josh Rosen?
I come with breaking news. Josh Rosen has a chip on his shoulder.
He's had that chip for a year.
More details. It's salsa verde this time. When you guys got him, it was a nacho cheese chip on his shoulder. Now that he's a Dolphin, it's salsa verde.
You know that's a dud, right? You know that, right?
What the trade is a cliche. That is my thought, because I think it's the worst cliche in all of sports history, is chip on the shoulder. It's the most annoying cliche ever.
Is it worse than 110%?
No. That's the best. Worse than 110%.
Really? Because that one bugs me.
Because I get that 110% thing is just straight posturing. Because you want, I give more effort. I give 110%. What's maximum effort with 5-hour energy with crack cocaine? 110%. That's what I have. I know that sounds annoying, but the whole chip thing is like everyone's got to have a chip. Like, a guy gets drafted like a top 10 place. Like, Dwayne Haskins gets drafted in like his hometown. His owner loves him. I have a chip on my shoulder. Ooh.
No, I hear you. It's, you know what? The other thing that bugs me is, oh, well, you know what? He was the first guy in practice and the last guy out. When I got to the facility at 7 a.m., he had already been there since 6. Is there only one guy, and you've covered sports for a long time too, is there only one guy that's always there before everybody else? And is there only one guy that leaves after everyone else? Or is that guy saying, don't get here before me and leave before me, so that way when reporters report it, they could say he was the first one in and he was the last one out?
I could tell you from experience. And not only someone who's covered sports, but as someone who has just been employed for about 4 or 5 years now, there's only two kinds of people who are first one in, last one out. Those who are really passionate and those who are terrified of getting fired.
Yeah, but my point, though, is I heard someone say that about Kobe Bryant the other day, that when they got there, they could hear balls bouncing, and he was already there. So my question is still, was there no one else worried about their performance? When you hear about quarterbacks, and I heard some Yahoo on the radio on a different show, and yes, I do listen to other shows, say, well, when Tom Brady is on vacation with his model wife, he's watching game film. Is he the only person in the NFL watching game film on vacation? I mean, do we have to in sports? Do we have to, when we have radio shows or the power of the pen, do we have to bloviate to that point where we're saying, this guy does this? I mean, doesn't that get old after a while?
Tom Brady is certainly the only guy in the NFL that would go to an extravagant part of our planet to watch film. Yes, I think he's the only one that would do that.
I don't believe it.
Everyone else would just stay home. Like, hey, we're going to the same island off the coast of Italy where George Clooney has a castle. Hold on, I'm going to pack up my clothes, my capris, and an iPad for game film. Because when I'm staring into the ocean, I want to see the 4-3 defense as well.
It's a joke, man. It's a joke.
But this is the type of bloviating that powers our industry, right? Because, like, this stuff, like, we've learned from basketball and baseball that you can only take numbers so far. But when it comes to football, a sport that is the closest thing we have to, like, Game of Thrones wars, this bloviating stuff gets us from, like, the beginning of our show to the end, because it's just nonsense. You can stream this nonsense together forever.
Would it be a compliment if I said when you were with the Sports Cave, you were the first one to start an article and the last one to finish it? Would that be a compliment?
Might be a fact.
All right, so you got Josh Rosen now down in Miami on the Kerry Lackey line, the one, the only Tony Capobianco. Is there really a competition between him and Fitzmagic, or is that lip service in April so you're not just handing him the job?
I think it's a competition similar to what Seattle had back in 2012, where they signed their guy and then they drafted a quarterback who may or may not take over. And if Rosen ends up being like really good in practice and in preseason, then I think it's more likely that he's going to get the first shot in week one, even though it's most likely going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick. But if Rosen is good, like, I think the biggest thing with Rosen right now is people, we've lost our use of mulligans. Like, I'm giving Rosen a mulligan because of what happened his rookie year. But I ran a poll on Twitter asking people, is Josh Rosen better than the quarterbacks that were available in this draft class? And like 86% said yes. So being in a new situation with probably a more well-rounded personnel offensively, I think if he wows himself in the preseason and he gets the job and he ends up being a starter, even if the team is doomed to go 7-9 at best, I think that's still pretty good.
I agree. And honestly, I think he should be the starting quarterback. To me, Fitzpatrick is nothing more. And this is going to come out as an insult, but whatever. Nothing more than a very, very, very good backup that can give me spot starts. Once he gets to start number three, all those touchdowns become interceptions. And I don't think that's good for the long term of your team. I mean, he's proven that in the 13 stops he's made already. Once you get him past game three, with the one exception being that year he had in New York with the Jets, and even when they had a chance to win their last game and go to playoffs, he went all interception happy again. If you're going to start your future, I think this is from like a chick flick. If I'm going to start my future, I want to start it today with you. That's what they should be telling Josh Rosen. We're starting our future with you.
Now, one thing I would say about Ryan Fitzpatrick, at least he throws past the 5-yard line. What I had to watch in the last 7 years, I will take any interception that goes over 10 yards. Like,
yeah, well, Tannehill was a different beast, bro.
It was awful. My biggest complaint last year, and what's it, Tannehill? It turned out to also be Brock Osweiler as well.
You guys had your boy
attempt a deep pass.
Well, Cutler did.
I wasn't around for Cutler.
Cutler. Jerry Cavalier.
I mean, I was in Boston during the Cutler year. And then I came to Miami, and I was stuck with Brock Osweiler throwing 3-yard passes at one interception deep. And I was stuck with Tannehill running Frank Gore into the ground and throwing 5-yard passes tops. And the only way we could get touchdowns that year was if they threw it to a guy who had to break every tackle and make it in.
That's the way.
And at least with these guys, they'll throw. They'll throw somewhere. Right. They'll throw. They'll take chances down the field. Like it won't be like, all right, if these two runs don't work, then we'll throw a screen to this guy, and if he can't tackle, then we'll just punt it. And I don't think we'll have that offensive strategy anymore, which I'm grateful for.
Five is four, very cute. Winning Capo Bianco is on. Something I want to touch base with Miami. I want to touch base with you on this before we jump you out of here. Should Tyreek Hill play another down in the NFL if everything we're hearing on this recording is true and we've already given him, when I say we, society, football society, has already given him his second chance already?
I'd say yes, because it's not worse than what Adrian Peterson did, and that guy was only away for a year. I mean, this league doesn't really have a moral ground to stand on, nor is good at just forever exiling players into the abyss. I think the way they do it is just have them disappear for a year, they come back, and they act rehabilitated and then they're on a different team. Like, I don't think this is something, like, I mean, it's heinous, but this is not something that they're going to just, like, get rid of a talented player forever for. He'll leave the Chiefs, he'll be suspended for half a year or more, and someone else will pick him up. That's usually how it works in football, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
You know what, though? There's two things. It's funny, because there's two things that can get you ostracized from football away. Colin Kaepernick has shown that by being the leader of it, not by being the follower, goodness for Eric Reed and those other guys that were able to go on with their career. And when I say thankful that they're able to continue their career. But isn't it funny how if you're gay, openly gay, that I've heard people say what a distraction that could possibly be. And we will never have anyone, I think, come out in a combat sport again and say that they're openly gay, especially a superstar. But you can have a guy who punches a pregnant woman in the stomach at Oklahoma State, and this is technically his second chance. And now he comes back, and he threatens her, and he punches his three-year-old in the chest, I guess, for some type of man-up, stop-crying type deal. In all honesty, I don't think he – and I've been – big proponent of this. If you don't do what you train for, that just means you're back in the world. I for him to come back and to be a stocker at Costco, to be a wide receiver for Kansas City, to be whatever it is, this is someone that should have to prove that they went and got help for this violent illness that they have, other than the illness of just being an asshole. Because if you punch a three-year-old in the chest and tell him to man up, I think before you go to do anything, one of those 6'9", 500-pound linemen should punch you in your chest and tell you to man up. So I think something has to be done to for him to show it takes a year, 2 years, some real rehabilitation, him to show that this is a person taking any job that they should be able to prove their worth while of doing it.
I agree, but this is also a league that is willing to take chances on necessary evils so long as it gets them to the end zone. But this is another reason why I think the whole concept of character issues is just nonsense. Because when in the press conference with Rosen, they were talking about his character issues, and from what I've heard from him saying and what I read in the past, his greatest sin is being socially liberal or
too smart.
Being someone who's willing to be calling out hypocrisy. That's the guy with the character issues, but Nick Bosa could tweet like a Russian bot and no one cares. In fact,
and
he could tweet like a Russian bot, delete the tweets in a way, and announced that he deleted the tweet in a way to solicit sympathy from the Tommy Lawrence of the world and still get drafted number two overall, because that stuff doesn't mean anything.
But he should. He should get drafted. In fact, I'm a big proponent that he shouldn't delete his tweets. Look, and I say this, and I stand by this. I have no issue with protesting. I don't. But if your job tells you no, then the answer is no. And then whatever ramification comes after that, it comes. Do I think you should be blackballed? No. But if this guy believed what he said, if he believed in those tweets, if he is a fan of the president, not a fan of the president, whatever, and that's what he tweets, my only thing is stand up for what you said. Don't apologize just for the sake of apologizing, because it seems like the right or wrong thing to do. Dude, if you like Trump and you tweet, I love this guy, then love this guy. Don't change, because he's not the only one in that locker room or any locker room that feels that way. Stand up to your conviction. And that's the only problem I have. But talent-wise, because he tweets like a Russian bot, he hasn't hit a pregnant woman, he hasn't punched a kid in his chest, hell, draft him. I could care less. I just think he's a punk because he didn't have the sack to stand up for what he believed in. That's my problem with it.
Yeah, it was strategic cowardice, but talent matters more than anything in this sport, and they're willing to give in to the necessary evils to get it. But not everything is a real character issue. and they have a problem identifying it. And that doesn't just go to those who evaluate the talent. That also goes to our media as well, because some of those tweets from reporters and the quotes that I heard from Rosen, that says more about our sensibilities than it does his. And that's and it's hard sometimes to look in the mirror, but that's something that a lot of people have to do when faced with the sport.
Do I have you on Friday this week?
Oh, absolutely.
Alrighty, buddy.
I don't know why you say I am formerly the sports cave. I never left, baby.
Well, I'm glad you didn't. I mean, you're part of the family now for how long has it been now?
Since 2011.
That's 8 years.
I think we first met at the Insight Bowl.
We did.
Back in 2011.
That's what it was still called.
It was Oklahoma
yeah.
and Iowa.
Riveting.
It was foreshadowing. I would later go to Oklahoma and see the height of their program.
Yep. Well, Friday, 1:10.
I'll be there.
All right, buddy. Look forward to talking to you then.
See you around.
All right, buddy. That's the one only Cuban cowboy, Tony Capobianco, joining us for a little while here today on The Cave Show with PLR. And folks, listen, I don't care. I really do mean this. I don't care who you vote for. If I like you, I like you. If you're my friend, you're my friend. I just want you to have convictions. If we have debates back and forth, big deal. But have conviction of what you did. And I don't think Nick Bosa had those convictions. I think that once he saw he was getting drafted by the 49ers, tweets he had about Colin Kaepernick, knowing how popular Colin Kaepernick is in San Fran, how popular he was with his teammates, and how much of a crap show was created because he was blackballed from the NFL. Yes, I said blackballed. Nathan Peterman has a job. Colin Kaepernick was blackballed. Instead of saying, when he was asked, what did you think, you know, of your tweets, yada, 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 now I feel differently. No, you don't, dude. Say, you know what? I didn't agree with that, but I'm not about politics. I'm here now to play football. My personal tweets before were my personal tweets. Well, you said that I love this man to the POTUS because I do. Now, are there any football questions? Stand up for what you believe in. Talent-wise, if this dude is healthy, and notice I'm saying if, he is a hell of a football player. Do I think his ceiling is as high as everyone else is saying? No, not really. I think that's his brother. But he can play football. He has incredible hands, and he can get off of just about any offensive lineman. And let's see if it translates to the pros. And what San Francisco has done this offseason, if their quarterback comes back healthy, this team has an opportunity to be really good. But don't punk out on your convictions. That's character. So, Rosen's in Miami, which means only one thing. Kyler Murray is here. Been talking to a lot of folks. Got some local writers coming up on the show a little bit later this week. Anxious to talk to them. I'm hearing 50-50. I'm hearing a lot of national people not real happy with the pick. Wasn't happy that the Cardinals basically punted on Rosen. Listen, I'm going to go back to the business thing one more time, and let me break this down like my man Denzel Washington said, like a fraction for you. I'm going to explain it to you in the best way I possibly can. Football is a business. There's more to it than just a player. And I heard someone say that Daniel Jones' career and the kid, I can't think of his name right now, just escaped me, from Ohio State that went to the Redskins, their careers are going to be linked because everyone thinks the Giants should have taken Haskins. So if Haskins ends up being a stud and Jones ends up being a bust, people are always going to go back and say, could you imagine if the Giants had taken him? Well, the same is going to be said true for Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray doesn't have to be the greatest quarterback in the NFL, but he damn sure better be better than what Rosen is going to be. If Rosen wins one Super Bowl and Kyler Murray doesn't, people in Phoenix will always say, and the national media who loves to pick on Phoenix will say, can you imagine if they would have just kept Josh Rosen? They will forever be linked together. Because you specifically gave up one to get the other. Now, I think they're both going to have good careers. I do. And I'm tired, and I want to dispel this one more time. Kyler Murray is not a running quarterback. He is a quarterback that can run. There is a difference between the two. If you're an analytic geek, go back and check his numbers in the pocket. Rosen is your classic pocket quarterback, but he can slide a little bit. But don't get confused. He's not a mover. He's not a runner. Kyler Murray will move to spots to let the ball go. His first choice is not to take off running. That was the same misnomer that people have with Russell Wilson. He's a running quarterback. Just like RG3. No. RG3 was a running quarterback that could throw. Russell Wilson is a throwing quarterback that can run. There is a difference. When RG3 didn't see anything, his first thought, pull the ball down and get as many yards as I can. Russell Wilson's thought is maybe move around. Maybe I have someone come open. Maybe there's a spot. Maybe if I get here, my angle better. Maybe if I do this, I can make a better pass. Then if all that fails, everything fails, then he runs. There is a difference. If you don't believe me, go back and look at Kyler Murray's numbers from throwing in the pocket. The big difference. And I'm not going to tell you, you know, well, it's unfair to compare him to Drew Brees. It's unfair to compare him to Russell Wilson because it's such an anomaly having a small quarterback. Who fails more in the NFL, 5'10 quarterbacks or 6'5 quarterbacks? Who fails more? We just heard Tony Capobianco complaining about a 6'8 quarterback that threw 3-yard passes, and Brock Osweiler, who I love because he's a Sun Devil. We just had him complaining about that. He's a 6'8 quarterback who gets passes batted down, but we're concerned about the 5'10 guy that's smarter and throws in better lengths. Joe Flacco up in Denver telling people that, you know, Denver has to do what else with him, but he's their starting quarterback. Flacco had one great year. Flacco got benched by his coach last year in Baltimore for a running quarterback that throws. They basically said, we would rather have this guy moving the sticks this way than you. And that's the reality of it. We'll talk more about the draft. We'll get more into Gettleman and his asinine statements and basically his deal of saying, we're going to play Eli and no one will boo Eli to get him out of the game to play a guy that nobody ever wanted. That's really just Eli anyway. But we'll get into that more this week. I want to talk about game one tonight, Denver-Portland. It looks like Eli's cancer may be out. Separated shoulder, game time decision. Listen, even with Eli's cancer, Denver's a better team. And I've been on this all year. Denver's a better team. Denver is a good team. Denver played nervous because it was their first time. Other than Paul Millsap, no one's had playoff experience. Your second best player, Jamal Murray, taking a beating. And maybe he should. But it's his first playoff. The Joker is balling. For his first playoff, he's balling. He's saying, world, check me out. I've been doing this forever, and now you're noticing me. And if he gets a little bit of help, listen, Dame Lillard is a different beast. CJ is a different beast. And he may have to go for 80 points a night because Denver is not getting beat by Mo Harkless. They're not getting beat by Amin Amisu or whatever. I messed up his name. I apologize. They're not getting beat by those guys. It's not happening. Portland as a team is not better than Denver. They just simply are not. And talent will win out. It's really just that simple. Now, if Dame Lillard loses his mind, which is very possible, they have a chance. If he just balls out, if him and CJ just completely ball out, there's a chance. But they have a lot of people that are going to have to perform very, very well on a consistent basis. Not perform well for one game, but perform well the entire series. And I just don't see that. I'm sorry. I just don't see that. So I got Denver. Give them to me in six. Give them to me in six. And then something I said a little bit earlier about the Houston Rockets doing their best imitation of the New Orleans Saints, is it just that region? Is it basically if we gripe and complain enough, we can get leagues to bend to our way of thinking? Is that what we're doing now? Because I just don't – listen, James Harden was fouled three times that they completely missed. Completely missed the calls on those threes. But then I also saw James Harden commit about six offensive fouls that they didn't call at all. And you can't have it both ways. And it's El Farouk Aminu. I apologize to El Farouk Aminu for mispronouncing his name. James Harden jumping and landing 5 feet in front of where he takes off. Chris Paul jumping and landing 5 feet from where he takes off and turning their hips. Those are not defensive fouls. If anything, those are offensive fouls. And Houston is now going to cry their way into these foul calls. And I think it's ridiculous. Look, everyone knows, and I've said it five times already, I'm always on the side of the Sun Devil. But for James Harden to sit there and say, I just want it ref fairly. I just want, if the chips, then let the chips fall where they may. I just want a fair shot. Dude, you get more calls than anybody in NBA. The NBA allows you to openly travel to take a shot. They allow you to openly travel. What more can you want? You hold, you go up with your left hand and use that old school NBA tactic and hook your defender with the right hand, and refs still give you that foul call. What more can you ask for? And I know Golden State complains. KD complains, Draymond complains, Curry complains. Steve Kerr complains. They all complain. Both teams. And believe me, if the shoe was on the other foot, we would have heard complaining all the way around. But when Houston is now submitting an outline, and believe me, they didn't put that together, that tape, to show what would happen if the fouls went their way. They didn't do that after last night's game. They had this already in the hip pocket. This was their joker. There's still a big joker to be played. I won't even give them a joke on this. This was their queen of spades. It was sitting here waiting for them. So now they've played it. So now how does the NBA react? Do refs say, is he trying to tell us how to do their jobs? Because these guys are human. Are they trying to tell me how to do my job? And now we're not going to give them anything? Subconsciously back in the head? Or are they, oh crap, Houston's pointing this out now. I better these calls. Look, I'm down with it. Clay fouled. I'm sorry, no one of those threes. Possibly two. And decided, it looks like the playoffs, to stop bailing out for some of that crap. Let the series fall where it may. Golden State is a better team, and I think they play a better brand of basketball because they take the best available shot. When you launch 40, 50, 55, 54, 52 threes, analytically, we have all these analytic nerds saying how, well, if you only hit this many percentage of these threes, you're still better off than hitting two. A two-point shot is the easiest shot. And if your threes aren't falling, work your way back in and then work your way back out. I wonder if this crazy question ever opened up. There's a reason other than the fact that he's the most unguardable person in the NBA that Kevin Durant is so good. It's because you can't just play him at the three-point line. You have to play him for a mid-range game. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Kevin Durant is a mid-range jump shooter that can shoot threes exceptionally well. Get it straight. That's why I'm picking Golden State. Picking Denver. I'm picking Boston, if you missed it last week. And I'm picking Toronto to murder Philadelphia. Joel Embiid is not healthy. Ben Simmons can't shoot. And there you go. Ben Simmons is not a threat to shoot the ball at all. Not a threat at all. And what did I say 30 minutes ago? Best player, yeah. We know that Joel Embiid is whatever. If the man with the ball is the majority of the time, better can't lick, you are an easy team to defend. And before we get out of here today, stop letting San Antonio off the hook, people. You have Becky Hammons yelling for him to make to to foul on that last possession against Denver in Game 7. You have Popovich basically on the floor. Hell, he should have just ran out and fouled Nikola Jokic himself. He was closer to the Joker to fouling him. Do not give Patty Mills, DeMar DeRozan, and LaMarcus Aldridge passes. You're down by four. There's about a four-second differential on the clock between shot clock to game clock, and you don't have the ball. You know you have to foul. You know you have to get in a free throw shooting contest now. And for LaMarcus Aldridge and Pop bailing players out saying they can't hear, they could see. And here's what makes it so bad. Nikola Jokic standing probably about 5 feet away from the half-court line. LaMarcus Aldridge is out there guarding him about 3 feet off of him. Patty Mills, following his man, runs right around Nikola Jokic and doesn't foul him. By saying they're young. These are vets that should have known that you fouled in that situation. Don't bail them out. Don't do it. Man, this was fun today. This was so much fun. Looking forward to coming back tomorrow. So much more to talk about. We have two games tonight. We have more draft to get into. NFL is brilliant. They found a way to occupy all the time in the world on every show, all up through the preseason game. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports K, where K was always with the K, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. TheSportsCave.com, where Cave is always with the K. You can get me on the Twitter directly at PLR on Sports. You can listen to a replay of this show at 3 o'clock on the Casual Sports Network. You can also go to TheSportsCave.com and catch a replay there. If you missed any parts of this, or if you love my voice just that much and you want to check it out again. Anyway, until then, until tomorrow, thank you to the Cuban Cowboy for calling on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thanks for all callers that call in via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Until tomorrow, this has been the KPLR. This is PLR. Enjoy the rest of your morning.